Welcome to the Weird Kids Podcast. Bam, 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 bam.
The podcast that can't get anything done in one take.
No, absolutely. Somehow, we can't even do like a basic intro without having to take another take. When we don't even do an intro, to be honest. Like, we don't... We just start talking.
We just talk. And we can't, yeah, and we can't get that right.
Exactly. But we are out here another week, another episode that you'll probably hear like 6 weeks from now, because we don't actually put our episodes out. But anywho.
Ryan's goofing.
Little Thoint out here with love, Ryan, Mr. Wiggins. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How are you? I heard that you got your sports podcast rearing to go.
I do. Welcome to the plug. This is a new podcast that I started with my buddy Mitch. It's called The Sports Hour with Mitch Moe and the Mormon. We put out our first episode Sunday night. We'll be putting it out either Sunday night or Monday morning, weekly. So check it out. We're on everywhere you can find this podcast. You can find us on, except for SoundCloud. We use a different hosting website called Simplecast. But yeah, we talk about sports, everything. Last week we did a little preview of the NBA conference finals, as well as a bunch of way too early NFL predictions, and it was a lot of fun. So yeah, if you like sports, check it out. This week I think we are going to talk about the legalization of sports gambling and how that affects modern day sports, as well as some other things. So it's fun. It's a good time. It's a
That's
good time.
So deep.
Thank you.
I didn't think it would be that deep.
What do you mean?
I just didn't think it would be that deep. I just didn't, you know.
It's just 2 hours of us saying we like sports and like a monotone voice for like just like consistently, like it drones, puts you to sleep.
Well, you know, I think it would be deeper than that, but now we're talking sports gambling. Can talk about gambling and music?
Well, it's what do you mean?
Artist gambling. Yeah, you know, you can gamble on an artist's career.
What? I mean, I guess it's like investment kind of thing.
No, not investment, gamble.
Like, so this is interesting. What if you could put like a bet on like an over under of album sales? So like J. Cole comes out and you're like over under 500K in a week, and you could put a bet on that and somebody would put a line on that?
Is that illegal?
Probably. Well, because, actually, this is an interesting concept. I don't know. But I think it doesn't exist. I don't know if it's illegal, but it doesn't exist.
Well, if it doesn't exist and it's not illegal, then I will be taking bets right
over
now.
Under Kanye drops his album on June 1st. Like,
and it's the full album. Yeah. He drops the full
album. Well,
June,
seven track,
June 1st.
The seven track. Did you see that picture that he tweeted the other day? So he tweeted a picture. Well, it was like a video, I think a 30-second clip of him like playing a beat, but he had these whiteboards and it had all these albums that he's working on, right? So it had the Kanye album, the Cudi album, Pusha and Nas, and there's another one, but you couldn't tell what it was, but it had seven tracks on each one of them, and it had song titles in a few of them. But the Kanye album only had two song titles written in, meaning I'm assuming that those are the only two confirmed tracks going on it so far. The Cudi album, him and Cudi's album, pretty much had everything. The Nas album, I think, had like one song, or maybe it was blank. I don't remember. But people were like, really? Like the Nas album you're supposedly producing doesn't even have like a confirmed song yet? But so I don't know. I'm starting to believe. I think it'll happen. I think these will happen. So
all right, so put your money down.
I'd bet money on that. Actually, I don't know. No, that'd be stupid. I'm not going to bet money on that. That would be a terrible idea.
he's going to do another Life of Pablo where he releases an album and then 6 months later has to give refunds.
Yeah, who knows?
Because bad marketing and bad press release and all that jazz.
Yeah, well, let's hope he actually puts some music out. So today, though, we're not talking about Kanye-Yeezy. We're talking about one of my favorite bands, groups, artists, Beach House. Just nice,
Beach House.
Nice little dream pop group that put out pretty dang good album called Seven. I made Ryan listen to it, which I'm super excited about. We're kind of moving away from hip hop here for a week, which is super fun and exciting for me.
It is. It is super fun and exciting. I actually enjoy not talking about hip hop.
Yeah, it's
because, you know, hip hop is one of my least favorite genres, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Then why do we do a hip hop podcast?
Because I like hip hop. It's just one of my least favorite.
What would you prefer to do a podcast on? Is there a genre that you're like, this is the podcast I want to do?
Heck no.
No.
I don't want to overanalyze anything else. Oh, the only reason why I can overanalyze hip hop is because, like, I do hip hop.
Right.
And because I do hip hop, that's why it's probably one of my least favorite genres to talk about, or not talk about, but to listen to.
Yeah.
Like, I could talk about it all day long.
Right.
But to listen to it, I'm like, eh. Because, like, I expect so much better from people who are making more money than me. So.
I love it. I love it. That makes sense. It makes sense. But anywho, so, yes, Beach House today. Lots of fun. So, you know what? Stick around. You always do. We'll be back after the music. Don't worry. Calm down. It'll be all right.
Guys, welcome back to the Weird Kids Podcast. Pew, 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 pew.
Drop a bomb on them. You know, we need
we need a soundboard.
Yeah, we definitely need a soundboard
with a bunch of clips. But just like Kanye quotes, like, you don't got the answers, like, you know.
Yeah,
I'm a god, like, over, like, just like
just keep pressing it. Just keep pressing it.
I love it. That's actually a great idea. I need to figure out how to get a soundboard. I'm gonna figure this out. We'll get one and
drop a bomb on them.
We'll go. Yeah, we'll do the funk flex bomb. I love it. Anywho, it'll be so great. Before we get into Beach House, I wanted to ask you if there was any good music, good singles, good projects that you have heard that have come out in the last week or so.
That I heard, you know, I haven't been able to really sit with anything because last week was Mother's Day week.
Shout out to all the moms out there.
Shout out to the moms.
Thanks for doing
childbirth. What happened was, because of that, I was kind of busy. I will say this. I checked out this dude named Retro. He has an album out called 9-1. It's hip hop.
Mm.
It was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was... It was Retro.
Well, then that's good. At least it fit.
Yeah,
his name.
He fit his name, and I don't know if I like it or I dislike it. It was a project. Just leave it at that. It was a project. Some people might like it. Some people might not.
All right.
He tried to bring '90s kind of rap and flow over some current production, which, you know, it can be hit or miss for a lot of people.
Right. Right.
Zeke. Ezekiel Judah, young God Loves Judah now. He changed his name to God Loves Judah. He dropped two singles called Pop Star and Zendaya.
Oh, I did not know that.
So he's doing his thing with that. And I think that's all I listened to this week. And Mother's Day music. Which is just instrumental jazz.
I was going to ask you what Mother's Day music is.
It's instrumental jazz and Rugrats and
Rugrats. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's basically just piano noise.
Understand.
Piano noise.
Understand. I just downloaded these God Loves Judah tracks. I'm gonna check those out. I have a few songs I wanted to mention. These first two came out not this last week, but the week before. But I did not mention them. At least I don't think. Joji. Formerly known on YouTube as Filthy Frank, doing his new music thing, dropped a song called Yeah Right, which was really good. It's kind of this dark, really moody, emo R&B. I liked the EP that he dropped, I think the end of last year, early this year. I don't quite remember. But it was really dope. So check the song out if you like that kind of stuff. Foggy Ra, our boy, dropped a single that is fire. You hear this?
I heard that.
Probably. He retweeted my tweet about it, which made me really happy. So shouts out to Foggy Ra.
Dallin is over here fangirling.
Oh,
guys.
Oh yeah. Foggy. The song is dope. I mean, if you listened to Foctavius Van Dross when we talked about it, you're gonna like this. This is like Montclair Bubble, just like right in that same lane. Just ooh, so smooth. He's so smooth, bro. And if you haven't yet, go check it out. What are you doing? You're sleeping on our boy. Washed Out, another one of my favorite electronic groups, dropped a single called Face Up. And it's kind of a departure from what they were, what he was doing on the, his last album he put out, which what, gosh, what's the name of it? Oh, Mr. Mellow, which was a really weird kind of psychedelic electronic kind of deal. This is definitely a more straightforward pop electronic record, but it's still very washed out. And it almost has a like a retro 80s vibe to it. It's a really solid track. And I hope he continues in this direction and drops a project in this vein this year, because I think it'd be a really solid project. So shout out to Washed Out. And then finally, I did want to mention, I checked out a few songs from Playboi Carti's album tape, Die Lit, which was okay. I mean, Playboi Carti is okay to me, but he has a cool little song on there with Lil Uzi Vert called Shooter, and I liked that song a lot, so... It has this, like, it builds, so, like, the drums don't even drop for, like, a minute, like, halfway through the song, which is cool, because you keep, like, waiting for it, and, like, Uzi's spitting over this, like, just the, like, not, like, without the beat, just, like, the instruments, and, like, the synths, and, like, it sounds really cool, and then the beat drops, and it's like, all right, cool, it's a quick little ditty, but, yeah, it's not bad, so, that's all I got for this week. Lots of good music coming up, all these Kanye releases coming up, we're ready for it, right, Ryan?
What? Kanye's dropping?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he said he's dropping. I'm still not convinced.
I believe
I'm still not convinced.
But I mean, what else is he doing
with
his life?
I'm taking bets.
That he can't be, like, dropping an album.
Being a good dad.
Well, I mean, do we know he's not being a good dad? Or I guess we're just kind of assuming. I think
that's unfair. We're just going to assume that.
I don't think that's fair to Kanye to assume.
What?
He hasn't given me anything to prove that he's not a good dad.
No, I'm saying, like, that's what he could be doing with his life right now.
Well, he could be doing that and also working on music. So, like, I'm cool with that.
Well, I don't know.
Man need to work. Right?
Not at this point. He's worked. He could retire and be good.
We need a little more Kanye. We need a little more Kanye in life. Anyway,
no, we need a good final Kanye album is what we
exactly.
need.
Exactly. That'd be nice.
Like, Childish Gambino said this is his last album that's dropping this year, which is bittersweet.
Do we believe that, though?
Young Thug said it.
Yeah, but, like, that's Young Thug. But, I mean, like, honestly, do you believe Childish, especially with how successful this next project will probably be?
I think because it's going to be so successful, he's going to be done.
He can be like, all right, I did it.
Maybe, yeah, because you know he's the guy who's like, every time I get to the peak of where I can go, I'm going to leave at the peak.
Yeah, you want to go out on top for sure.
Yeah, and he has that mentality, and he's been working his way to that top point. And I think to be honest, it's taking longer than he thought it would.
Yeah. Well, he also has started to do other things in the midst of music. I feel like if he would have just done music, like, he had a big gap between Because of the Internet and, like, Awaken My Love. Like, he could have took those years and really pushed the music.
Nah,
because
he put out Stone Mountain Kauai. Right.
Yeah, but,
in,
like,
in
that wasn't like commercial releases, and I don't feel like it was quite as big.
It should have been. That mixtape was freaking fire.
Yeah, but, like, I'm saying he could have put out, like, an album. It put it out as an album in between instead of, like, mixtapes and EPs. Probably would have kept up with the music a little more, but
I don't think people were ready for it.
Yeah, maybe not.
Because I saw this tweet and it was like, when did people start liking Childish Gambino? And like, I felt the same way. I was like, when did he become cool to listen to? You know what I mean? Cause you know, Childish Gambino was always like that guilty pleasure that kids had. Well, kids, when they were kids in our day, like, we're old now.
Right.
But back in the day, like, you didn't listen to Childish Gambino and be like, oh, yeah, man, I checked out Childish Gambino. You know what I mean? Like, you just didn't do it. And now he's, like, the topic of discussion. Right. And what made it funny for me, Aegeus and J Kid on Saturday, they had a little Instagram live session.
Yeah.
And they were, like, raving over the This Is America video. And like, I had to share my thoughts because they asked.
Yeah.
And I just, for me personally, I don't think it's his best work. I think that he's done some songs that are like to that caliber of quote unquote wokeness. Uh-huh. And this one, I feel like it was a lot of hype behind it that made it as big as it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Cause like he got some movie coming out. So his name is all over the place.
And
he was hosting SNL. His name is all over the place. And then he dropped the song. It was perfect marketing.
Well, and the video. If he just puts out the song by itself, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do as much. But then the powerful video, like, coupled with it really pushes it forward.
Right. And it was a lot for me personally with it, with the song, with the video, with everything that's surrounding it. I feel like it was a perfect marketing plan. I just don't think that and you know, that's the beauty of Donald Glover. He knows how to market himself. He knows how to make things work.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. He made it work. He knew this would be the perfect time to release this and it would have the most impact, which is not taking anything from him. I just personally feel like it's more hype than we're giving the song credit for.
Yeah, possibly. But you could say that about, I think, almost any song. I mean, things like that go viral are just, it's all about timing. Like, right place at the right time, enough people pick it up and it's going to blow up, you know? Like, is that song that good? Who knows? But, like, it doesn't matter because it blew up, you know? So it kind of, like, I don't know. It's interesting how that works, you know?
I'll say this. It's going to, the hype for it is going to last a lot longer than the hype did for Control.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. Like, if that gives any kind of credence to anything that I'm saying. Like, I liked the song. I liked the video. Do I think it's his best? And, oh, my God, you got to listen to Childish Gambino now because of that song? No. He has a lot more songs that are a lot better.
Yeah.
Well, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I don't think people should listen to him now just because of that. Because I think you're going to be disappointed because he doesn't necessarily do music like this. And perhaps in this new album, he takes this approach and he does a more political, like, commentary kind of thing. And he did, you know, to be fair to him, he did do a little bit of that on Awaken My Love in songs like Boogeyman, where he addressed a lot of like the relationship between African Americans and police and just the perception of like black people and rappers in general. So he's always been like that.
But he obviously did
in a very blatant way, and I feel like people are gonna like expect that from him and possibly be disappointed when he puts out an album that has like nothing to do with any of this and it's just like a fun album or like a whole different concept. Because like now we have this expectation of that, and I feel like we should be careful of that. That he doesn't have to do a This Is America album after this.
Yeah,
like he can do whatever the heck he wants, you know?
I don't know. I feel like it'll play some kind of part in it. Cause I still think that he's being the boy. I think that's what's going to last. Childish Gambino ends when the boy gets killed. So expect a death song on the final Childish Gambino album. Because like we could have a whole podcast on my look at Childish Gambino and the character of the boy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause like he's been doing it since Camp.
Right.
And if you haven't listened to Camp, you got to listen to Camp and hear the final song of Camp and then listen to Because the Internet, or listen to Royalty, then listen to Because the Internet, because it's a huge intertwining story about this character named the boy. And I think, if this is his final album, if it really is his final album, then the boy is going to die.
Yeah. Okay.
So, that's my hot take on Childish Gambino. That's what they're called, right? The hot takes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you haven't, like Ryan said, like I think there's more to Childish Gambino, and Donald Glover is a very deep thinker. I think you can tell with the way he does his music and his show and everything he pretty much touches. So there is a lot like to that. There's a lot of depth in his music, especially in, like you said, the characters he's developing and the storylines. So definitely go back and listen to his previous work. Read. I think everyone should read, honestly, the screenplay that goes along.
Oh,
with
it was so good.
It just makes the album like not an album. Like it makes it so much more. And like you said, like there's characters that are introduced here that he is playing, like he's portraying in his music. So I think that's important to notice. So Shout out to Donald Glover, killing it. I'm excited to see Solo when it comes out. I think it's like next week. So like the 11th or no, it's like the 20 you know, something.
20. I am so 5th. Not excited. Yeah, it's the 25th. I am so not excited to see Solo.
Really?
What? Yeah. Why? Because
I've heard good stuff.
I hate Disney and Star Wars. I think that is the worst marriage that could have happened.
Why?
Because The Last Jedi was terrible.
No, it's not.
It is. It is. Here's why it's terrible. The other day,
and I liked it more than I saw it than the first time.
Here's why it's terrible. And you know, the second movies in the trilogies usually are the ones that are kind of like, eh. But here's why I think it's terrible, my personal opinion on it, because now we're the movie podcast.
we're the nothing, but that's why we call ourselves the weird kids. So that way we don't have to stick to like, we're not a sport, one thing. We're not a music. We're just like whatever we want to be.
We're just
going to
talk. but with Solo, with The Last Jedi, they reduced Luke's character to comic relief up until the last possible moment.
No, I don't think, to me, he doesn't come off as comic relief throughout the whole. I mean, obviously he has his moments like,
the
you
majority
know,
of the time
when she shows up, hands him the lightsaber and like tosses it off the cliff, whatever. But to
that
me,
could have been a very powerful scene.
They reduced him more, I think, to like a grumpy old man who's set in his ways more so,
which is
than
comic
like,
relief. Like that's the
really,
issue.
Though,
like because
he's almost like frustratingly stuck in his ways. Like here's like, Rey trying to like be like, yo, like let's like come help us like freaking save the galaxy and like teach me how to be a Jedi, and he's like, Jedi are dead, I'm grumpy, I suck at life, and I don't want to
he
ruin
was
it. Like,
he
it's,
was
it's
a
not
less
even,
fun
it's,
Yoda
it's not funny it's more like
he was a yes less fun Yoda because well, this is the thing but it was just Yoda from episode 5 just done terribly.
But no, because the thing is that's what's beautiful about the arc is here he was having a master who's very close-minded, it seemed like in a lot of ways, he didn't want to train, you know, whatever, in Yoda, and then he basically becomes that. And
but
then,
a worse version.
And then Yoda shows up and then is like completely different, and he's like, the F? Wait, like what? Like what do you, like, and then it's like he has to realize where he's gone wrong and like how he needs to change and like embrace certain things. And
but here's the difference. Yoda was funny because Yoda was just funny.
True.
They like,
well,
had
he's like a weird alien creature. Like Mark Hamill.
Yeah, he was just an old guy.
Like, he just can't do that. He's just like,
now,
Luke
but here's
Skywalker.
The thing. Luke, I understand where Luke went like, I'm sorry, if this is spoilers, then, you know, you
oh,
guys.
Come on. The movie came out guys, in December. What are you talking about? No spoiler. We don't need a spoiler
just,
alert
know,
anyone. If you haven't
know,
watched
just,
this.
Just making sure.
Then you don't know how to use technology. Like, you wouldn't be listening to the podcast. You don't know how to download the app on your phone. Get out of
anyway,
here.
Anyway. but for real. Like, there was just so many scenes where they I felt like they tried to make Star Wars too family friendly. And that's what messed it up for me. Because
they've
like,
always done that though. Like since after the original three, like the first three, like Jar Jar Binks, Ewoks.
That is, I didn't like Jar Jar Binks.
All that
Ewoks
ish.
Were in the first and were in
yeah,
the first trilogy,
and that's super
which was
family
cool.
friendly.
Which was cool because with the Ewoks,
it's only
no,
cool because it was part of the original film.
No,
that's
not it. Because I don't like the original as much as I like the prequels.
You like the prequels more than the originals?
Yes, I do.
Whoa, right?
Because
here's on an
the, here's
by
why.
Yourself on that.
I'm not on the island by
it.
Myself with that.
I love
one.
It. I love
here's
the,
why.
I love the going out on a limb there, but.
No, here's why. I think that because they had so much to do in the prequels to set up for the originals, mm-hmm. they did a perfect job of it. The only misstep for me was Jar Jar Binks.
And
that was the
Christensen's
only,
terrible acting.
That was writing and directing. And yeah, he could take
probably,
some acting classes.
Probably a part. It's probably a mix of things, but
yeah, it was a mix of things. But like, let's look at the actual story. Like it touched on everything that needed to be touched
oh, yeah.
on.
The story, well,
to
the
T.
I don't.
And that's
like
what made it awesome.
The weird midichlorian things, and like the fact
well,
that Anakin has no father. Like he just like he has no father. Like that's it. That's what we're gonna do. Like Darth Vader has
well,
no father.
The thing is,
like, come on.
The story behind that is Chancellor Palpatine's master, he was trying to figure out a way to cheat death. And like, it's this whole deep thing that I actually looked into because I'm a Star Wars nerd.
Right, but that's unconfirmed, so it's just like non-canon.
No, it's confirmed.
It's non-canon. It's confirmed.
It is definitely canon.
It is canon.
Yes, it is canon.
I want to read this.
It is canon. Everything after episode 6 is no longer canon, but everything before episode 6 is canon.
Right, but I'm talking about this whole explanation of whose father
yes.
is. That's canon?
That is canon.
I thought anything except for like all the movies and anything produced was canon. Everything else is just speculation.
No, that is canon. That is canon. That is all canon. Because it was going on during the time of Phantom Menace.
Right.
So it is canon. Mm. Anything before episode 6 is canon. Anything after episode 6 is no longer canon.
Well, it will be canon.
Because Disney wanted to create new characters. That's basically what it was.
I think it will be canon. Like,
no.
Look back upon.
No.
It's still Lucasfilm.
So there's,
still, you know.
There's the Star Wars purists who are like, no, I don't care about Disney's story. Like, yeah, cool. Disney has a story, but this is the true canon in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And like, there's still people who ascribe to that, as opposed to the canon that Disney is trying to make.
Right.
And like I said, I think Luke's character could have been like the ending, the last scene of The Force Awakens. That was a powerful scene. And then you open the movie with him taking the lightsaber and throwing it off the cliff. What?
It's supposed to be, I don't know. The thing is, and I hate to break this to anyone who isn't aware already, but Luke Skywalker's always kind of been a kind of lame character. Like, can we be honest? Like, he's always been kind of lame and like grumpy and like childish and like not the hero. Like, he has moments of heroism, especially in the final film, The Return of the Jedi.
But it was a growth experience,
and
that's what was good about it.
But that's the thing. So like, people like to think that Luke Skywalker was like this badass like hero guy, but like, I don't know. I feel like he never really was. Like, he doesn't come across like that in the movies.
He wasn't, and he doesn't.
So like,
he doesn't come across like that.
So that's why I think a lot of the criticism is like how they handled his character in this movie. But I feel like it's pretty on par with everything that like Luke was, like a whiny little brat the whole time.
No, because the thing is,
pouting,
he grew
basically,
up
because
he
messed
up
the Jedi, and now he's all pouty and he's like, I'm gonna sit on this island and I'm just gonna die, and then the Jedi would die with me. Like,
yeah, that's the thing.
That's
like
typical.
That's,
I don't know.
You shouldn't want this character, because like, yes, he was whiny in the first two movies, but in the last movie, he found peace. He's found a sort of peace.
Yeah,
and they totally took that. And yeah, he had some crazy thing happen, but after that crazy thing happened, you couldn't do anything about it. And especially since Snoke got killed so easily. It was like all this stuff that led to Luke being this grumpy old man, or what they want you to believe led to him being this grumpy old man who's just stuck in his ways, who just doesn't care about anything. It was resolved way too easy. It could have been resolved way too easy. So basically what they said was Luke was never that powerful in the Force.
No, he was, but he stopped after the incident with Kylo in the Knights of Ren and the sack in the killing of the rest of the Jedi in the temple. He stopped using the Force. Like, Rey says that to him. Like, he's not in tune. Well, he doesn't stop using, but he's not in tune with it anymore. He like purposely chooses not to tap into the Force because he's afraid of like what
is
the issue. But like,
that
that's
is an
why.
Issue.
Like, had
like,
he done that,
but
he didn't try
to do anything.
Right, because he gave up because he's a whiny little brat. Like, that's
no, but he was never
so
like
Skywalker.
That.
That
is
know.
Not Luke Skywalker,
yes,
because
is.
you can't say that was Luke Skywalker. When did Luke give up in the original trilogy? When did he ever give up in the original trilogy? Please tell me.
I don't know, man. He's old. He messed up big time.
No. Tell me when
he
gave up. Tell me when that was a part of his character arc.
That doesn't mean he can't ever give up ever. Like, he's never done it once.
But tell me where that's a part of his character arc.
It may not have been in the first three films, but it is now.
So they just shoehorned it in there.
No.
Because here's the thing. Here's the thing.
So he can
only
be the character the exact same way that he was in the first three films.
No, it just doesn't fit. It just doesn't
fit.
Because, like, the thing is, he went, He went away to figure something out. He went away to find the first Jedi temple.
Yeah.
The first movie, like, let's be real. The Force Awakens makes it seem like Luke is that dude. He's going out. He's trying to find out what's going on.
Which is how we remembered him after Return of the Jedi, was this, like, hero that saved the day.
Not a hero that saved the day, but someone who was determined to better the galaxy.
Right.
And that's how they portrayed him. They kept portraying him like that. And yes, I understand that you can take a character and then, like, flip the script, which I would not have been mad at. It's just, it was the comic relief aspect of it. He's drinking milk from these space cows, and he has this, like, whatever the heck it was. He basically goes like, That's Luke.
Maybe it was a little much. I didn't feel like it was, like, so much like, oh, he's just the comic relief
character. That's what it was. He was the comic relief character.
I didn't get that at all.
He was Jar Jar Binks.
No, he was not. Do not do that.
Everything I felt from Jar Jar Binks is what I felt from Luke Skywalker.
We got to cut this off.
That is everything I felt.
We got to end this conversation.
Everything I felt from Jar Jar Binks is what I felt from Luke Skywalker in that movie. Until the very end. In the very end, it was like a, it became a, look, man, you need to reevaluate what you're doing. And it took Yoda to do it. Like, Yoda should not have had to show up in this trilogy.
That's what makes the arc so cool, is that here his old master has to come back after he basically becomes him and tell him, like, you need to, like, look at this a different
way. But he didn't become him. Because Yoda...
In some ways, he did. In some ways.
No, because here's what Yoda did.
He became Yoda.
Here's what Yoda did, as opposed to Luke. Yoda was like, okay, I messed up in the past by not training, like, by not being the one who took the time to train a Skywalker, even though I knew a Skywalker was supposed to be super important. Mm-hmm. Even though I knew that, you know what? I will train you, but you have to follow what I tell you. Because if you don't follow what I tell you, you're going to mess up. And this is what happens to Luke. He loses because he did not follow what Yoda told him to do.
Right.
So now, if Luke came across any different, like, if that's what got me, he was drinking walrus milk. He was drinking walrus
that
milk and going,
triggered Ryan.
It did. It was a couple of things, because he takes the lightsaber, he throws it, he drinks walrus milk, he finally decides to train her, and then he does the whole, well, no, this part was funny when he goes, what are you doing? Like, when she starts reaching out, he's like, what are you doing?
Right. That was funny. You know, this is the thing, is everybody can be as critical as they want to be about anything, movies, music, whatever.
That's true.
And this, of course, is the movie perfect? Is Last Jedi the greatest Star Wars film ever? No. But to me, it was good. I liked it.
It was all right.
It was surprising.
It was,
I liked
everything
the twists. I liked the action. You know, it was cool. So
I think they missed a chance, and I feel like they should have killed off Princess Leia, but you know what? She saved the movie. I ain't gonna lie. She saved that movie. She did. Like, she killed it.
I don't like Leia in these new movies, honestly.
Are you serious? How do you not like Leia?
See, here you are calling Luke Skywalker the equivalent of Jar Jar Binks, and I can't not like Leia. Come on.
No, you can not like her, but explain yourself.
I just don't like, I think Carrie Fisher's acting, and this, like, no disrespect to her, obviously, because she's, like, no longer here with us, and this was towards the end of her life, and we obviously know she struggled with some things, but I just don't think her acting is very good at all. It seems really weird, and it doesn't seem like Leia from the original movies, like, at all. Like, it doesn't seem like it at all. She just, like, it's just so, I don't know, it's like an actor trying to be what Leia would have been. That's how it comes across to me.
No, it comes across as growth. Now, comes across as growth. She comes across as someone who has seen the best of it and seen the worst of it, and then was like, okay.
She's just this, like, sage character, I'm done. Which is cool.
But
I'm okay with the character. I'm not saying I don't like the character of Leia. I don't like the acting of Leia. Like, I think it ruins.
I think it was the best way they could have portrayed her. And
well,
I think
because they have to have Carrie Fisher do it again. Like, they can't have anybody else do it. So.
And I think Han did a great job too. I think Harrison Ford came in and he played the Han Solo character perfect. The only person who didn't do a good job of revamping their role
was Yoda.
Was Mark Hamill. Was Yoda. No, Yoda tripping. Did a perfect job.
You're
no, it was Mark Hamill. I don't think it was his fault. I think it was Disney taking it in a more family friendly and more let's shoehorn jokes in for the kids kind of role. And I honestly think that's just because of what today's times are like. Because
I really don't.
I think they shoehorned jokes in there for Luke that didn't need to be shoehorned in there. It is what it is, you know?
It is what it is. Let's talk about some music here. How about that? I will make sure I put the title
Wars soundtrack
that this
is
about is
the
Last Jedi episode. And people will be like, why did you guys talk about The Last Jedi like 6 months after it came out? But I will.
Because. There was a tweet, and I responded to the tweet, and the tweet was about Dragon Ball Z, the Star Wars sequels, and one other thing. I forget what the other thing was, but I have really strong opinions on Dragon Ball Z, the Star Wars sequels, and there was another thing. I obviously don't have that strong of an opinion on it. But I addressed it.
All right. So, Beach House. Let's talk about some Beach House. Beach House is a dream pop group band. Dream pop is a subgenre that we'll call of like electronic and alternative music. Very synth heavy, very glitzy, glamoury, but like epic at the same time. Like very deep, I think big synths. And very ethereal vocals in it. They've put out quite a few albums. They put out seven. Yeah,
seven albums.
Yeah, exactly. Hence the seven. Their debut album coming out in 2006. I have been listening since about 2015, and I've been a fan. Any hip hop fans will know the song "Money Trees" by Kendrick Lamar featuring J-Rock is a sample of a song by Beach House off of Teen Dream. So, Beach House, it is fun. I love them. I've been excited for this album to come out this year. They've put out some really good singles. And Ryan, I want to hear you first. What did you think?
Okay.
And be brutally honest. If you hate it.
I drowned.
What does that mean?
It was so deep. It was so deep.
What?
It was so deep. It was so deep. I literally had to listen to the album. And I listened to it twice. Uh-huh. I had to listen to the album. Each time I listened to it, I had to have the lyrics right there.
Yeah.
Because the mix, they're so far like back in the mix. Karen, you can barely hear what Homegirl is saying.
Oh yeah.
So I'm listening to it and I'm like reading along with the lyrics and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so deep.
You're being sarcastic, aren't you?
I'm not being sarcastic. Really? Yes, it is deep. She is saying stuff, and it's like simple stuff. Like she doesn't say big words or anything, but it's like it is deep. It is deep what she's talking about. Like
yes.
My favorite song on there, it was like the Lacon or something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. The French and one.
Yeah, and I love French music. I do. I love it. But the thing is, as I was like reading the lyrics and I saw what they were saying, I was like, oh my gosh, the angel and the whore, the whore and the innocent. What the heck, yo? Like it was so deep. It was so deep. I'm not mad at it. Like I can go deep with the best of them, but like I don't know. It was deep. I liked it. I liked the vibe of it. And you can kind of get lost in the music.
Yes.
And I don't know. Like I liked getting lost in the music. Would I listen to it just for pleasure's sake? Probably not. I would listen to it to fall asleep. And I think that works with dream pop. Like it's,
yes.
I don't know if it's meant to be like super enjoyed where you're just like, yeah, man, like, but like, if I was still smoking, like I would roll a blunt and listen to it.
Just fade out into existence. You know,
yeah,
this is the thing. It's not like I love the way you described it, because you can just sit back and listen to the music and just enjoy the pretty sounds and the epic synths and just this really fun feeling, this really, like, you can sink into it musically. But you're absolutely right. If you want to, like, look at the lyrics, like, there's something significant going on here. Like, and there's not a narrative per se, but it's a lot of feelings, and it's a lot of, like, I love which song is it? Dive. So Dive, one of my favorite songs on here, which is a pretty prototypical dream pop sound, and especially a beach house sound. But, like, the chorus, I guess you call it the chorus. I don't know what part of it you would call this, I guess. I love this part where she says, "And I know you like it, so you try to hide it. And I know I like it, so I dive to find it." Like, you have this thing that you're hiding inside you. I'm going to dive into you and find it. Like, because I don't know. I just, like, there's a lot of, like, depth to this lyricism, the lyrics in this project. And it's just, I don't know. It's a neat sound.
Now, here's my biggest gripe with it, though.
Gripe away.
It sounds the same throughout. Like, the drums, the instrument choice, which, you know, I won't say is a bad thing, but that's my gripe. Because, like, I'm sitting there and I was like, am I on the next song?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it could be that could have been there, because I don't listen to Beach House like that. I don't know what their you know, their style is. But for me, I would have liked to hear something different occasionally, and I just didn't get that. Black Car, I think that's what it was. Yes. That one sounded different.
Don't you love those synths in the beginning?
Like, I do. I was like, oh, man, like, this is okay. Going to be dope.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes back to her singing as melancholy as she possibly can.
Right.
And which is not a bad thing. Like, I think it fits for the majority of the songs. I just wish she changed it up some. Like, it could have been changed up in the production, and with her voice, I think it could have been changed up some to where, you know, like, it gave me something to look forward to.
Yeah.
But every time I got hit with the same kind of flow, the same kind of tone of voice, everything just felt so similar throughout that I was just like, oh, man, I'm just listening to the same song, except for the Lacone, however the heck you say it.
Yeah. I don't know how to say that either. I don't speak French. You know, what's funny is this is probably the most eclectic sounding album that I've heard from them.
Really?
This is, wow. And I was listening to it and I was like, yo, they actually did some different sounds on here. Like, this is kind of cool. And like, wow. which I thought was funny, which I thought would be cool for you to listen to first time. Cause it is like the more it's more pop than anything they've ever done. It's more like different sounds at times. Like the last song, Last Ride, like to just have the piano like that, is something very different. And like the way Black Car, that synthesizer in the beginning, and like even the song like Lemon Glow with the really weird punchy, like,
oh, I loved Lemon Glow. Yeah, and that song, loved Lemon Glow. Oh, that song was beautiful.
Yes.
That song, I was listening to it, I was like, oh my goodness.
And the way it builds,
this is so sweet.
They do a good job of building songs. Like, it builds and it gets deeper and grows, and like musically, you know what I'm talking about, with like the instrumental and stuff. It's cool. But yeah, you know, a lot of their stuff,
Lemon Glow,
like,
is good.
My favorite album by them is called Depression Cherry. And it really is like the same song for like 45 minutes. And I think that's kind of the point. I don't know. I feel like that's like what they're kind of going for, is we're going to give you this. And it's almost like, instead of 11 different tracks on an album, it's like the album is the entire song and it flows together like that. It's supposed to sound the same and create a same sort of vibe in it. But it can get tedious if you don't like the sound, or even just after a while, like, it's just like, all right, this is just like enough. Like, I can't listen to Beach House every day, but like when I'm in the mood for it, it's great, because I get the same sound for like 45 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
no, this is awesome. I can definitely, you know, feel that. Like, if you're in the mood for it, it's definitely something to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is like some of their older albums, like Teen Dream or like Depression Cherry, are very much, are even more cohesive, I guess, in that sense that, like, it really is, like, the same.
That's a very nice way to put it.
Yeah, yeah, I can't, yeah. So, yeah, so it is funny because this is, they experimented with some different sounds. Like, even the song Dark Spring to start off with, like, those drums, like, the drum roll, and then, like, the guitar, it's almost, like, guitar-driven, and you're, and, like, that's pretty, I mean, it's not super different for them, but it is... It's something that they don't
for
normally
my first
experiment with.
For my first listen, I was like, oh, man. Because, like, when I first put it on, I couldn't hear what she was saying. Right. So I was like, I'm not listening to this right now because I just don't want to. Uh-huh. And then when I started listening to it to actually, like, go through the album, I was like, oh, okay, this is it's nice to hear the instrumentals.
Yes.
And then not have to focus on the words.
Yeah.
So, like, if I do listen to it again, that would be what I do. I'm not going to be listening for the words, and I'll just let the words kind of just float in the waters that is the deepness of this project.
Oof. Kill him.
Yeah, like, it was, I'm not mad at him. Like, I really am not mad at him.
I love,
like,
it. I love it.
And you know, I think that,
I'm so glad you like this, Ryan. I'm so glad. Like, I was afraid I was going to have to come up here, like, explain myself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, this is garbage. How can you listen to this? This is terrible.
Well, it's not,
you know,
garbage. It's just, I can't, cause, like, I love eclectic stuff. Like, I would throw this into a playlist. Like, if there was a group that only did, like, one sound of, like, super pop, and there was a group that did one sound like hardcore hip hop, and then, like, there was this, I would throw all of them in a playlist with the whole album, put it on repeat, and I would bump it. Like, I would so do that, because it is a sound that, you know, it's different, and it's something that, you know, you can just relax to. Uh-huh. But for a whole album, I was like, man, like, I need highs and lows. Yeah, and I didn't get highs and lows. I got a lot of lows. I got a lot of deepness, and I got some, like, warm fuzzies. Like, Lemon Glow is a very beautiful song. I don't know if I said that.
Yeah,
yet.
You did. But not a lot of highs. You're absolutely right. It's not like it's bright, but it's like a dimmed brightness. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's a lemon glow.
Yeah. It's a lemon glow. I love it. But, like, and that's, you know, it can be tedious to listen to an album like this that just drives home a sound. And, like, we're owning it. This is what we do. We don't do anything different. And we're just going to, like, do this for, like, 45 minutes. And when you're in the mood for it, like you said, it's awesome. Like, I like to listen to this when I'm, like, driving in the car, like, on a road trip or whatever. Like,
oh,
throw it
shoot,
in the middle
I'd
of
fall
things.
Asleep.
Like, I like it because it's, like, background and it's, like, pretty to listen to. Or if you're just, like, chilling at home and you just want, like, cool background noise to listen to. And, like you said, lyrics that you don't have to, like, be intent on, like, observing and, like, analyzing. Like, you could just, like, listen back to the cool music and just enjoy it.
You know what I was expecting?
Yeah. What were you expecting?
I was expecting more of a Purity Ring kind of sound.
Oh, okay.
And I love Purity Ring. I love Purity Ring.
Yeah, it definitely is different, because Purity Ring is interesting that they use a lot of, like, hip hop almost sounding drums, but then also do, like, a lot of electronic synth work, and have a very poppy vocals. Like, they're a very weird eclectic mix of a few genres. But this is, like, if dream pop as a subgenre, if it had a poster child, it's probably Beach House. Like, they really, like, this is dream pop, like, bam, like, here it is. And they're probably the most well-known of, like, dream pop groups and bands in that. So they really are, like, the subgenre is basically them. And I don't like it. It's definitely mood music. You can't just throw it on at any time. Like, it can be annoying if you throw it on at the wrong time. But I think it's just, like, beautiful music to listen to. I love the, like, melodies. I love the intricacies of the synths. And just the, I don't know, like the sinking feeling, like, you can just kind of sink back into the music and just let it, like, absorb you. I don't know. That sounded really weird and trippy, but it's not as weird and trippy as it probably sounded coming out of my mouth. But it's just great. I love Beach House. I'm glad you liked it, Ryan. I'm really glad. So, real quick,
my favorite part about it is the fact that the singer, she's actually from Paris.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She is from Paris.
You did your research. Look at you.
Well, only because I was on genius.com as I was listening to it, and they you know, they go deep at genius.com.
Right.
And like, so that's what that's, I think it's what is so intriguing about them. And again, with Purity Ring, because Purity Ring is Canadian. And if you don't know anything about Canada, they were colonized by the French.
Uh-huh.
And like, it's the French have a way with words and a way that they do things and say things that even when it's translated to English, it is a very flowery language and it's a very beautiful language. And I think her writing stems from that. Like, yeah, she thinks like a French person would think. Like it's like Lemon Glow. I would have never, like, the meaning behind Lemon Glow is like when you dim lights and it's not too bright, it's just that yellow lemony looking brightness. So that's where she got Lemon Glow from. And I was like, wow, I would have just said dimmed lights. Like that's,
yeah.
That's what I would have said. I would have said dim
not
lights,
not so bright lights, you know. But
you said Lemon Glow, and it's a beautiful way of looking at it, because it kind of changes the feeling of dimmed lights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It takes away the sexual aspect of dimmed lights. Like, dim those lights down low, girl.
Right.
And it's like, no, I want it to be a lemon glow. And it makes it more romantic. It makes it more sensual. And I think a lot of what she says, like, it might not be super romantic or very sensual, but the word choice makes it such.
Yeah.
And I think that's their strong suit, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, this album thematically is a lot about finding beauty in darkness and like love in like dark times or like chaos. So there is a lot of that, like you said, that kind of theme throughout of like there is love, there is beauty in here, and like the music kind of puts it off, but the lyrics are almost like this confliction of like darkness, but like also trying to like find some sort of like good in that. So yeah, I mean, Beach House is awesome. Seven is the album. The album is great. If you are looking for something different to listen to that is a departure from your normal music, I highly recommend this album. Of all Beach House's albums, this Teen Dream's probably their most famous. It has a lot of really good songs on it. Depression Cherry is my personal favorite. This actually might be my favorite now. I have to listen to it for a little bit more. But I definitely recommend this album because I think it's going to give you a good mix of things. The irony of that is that it pretty much still sounds the same. But if you're familiar with them, I feel like you can tell the differences in sounds. So Lemon Glow and then the French song, which I don't know how to pronounce, L'Inconnu. That was terrible. Sorry, French people. What other songs? Were there any other songs in there that you liked or any that you didn't like?
I didn't dislike anything, but those two were like, those are the ones that I'm definitely going to listen to a lot more than all the others.
Yeah.
Cause I loved them. I loved the French song because it makes you think, like the whole, the duality, that's the word that they use, the duality of woman and how people see it as you're either the whore or the innocent, but the thing is they're just the same person.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that's deep. But then I was like, wait, are you calling yourself a hoe? But you know, feminist movement nowadays, I guess, right. She was, I don't know. but it was, I liked you know, Lynn Cohn or whatever the heck you, however you say it. And I loved Lemon Glow. Like I said, Lemon Glow is just a beautiful way of describing so many different things. Like, oh man, like it brought me back to Wreck-It Ralph. There was a scene where Fix-It Felix Jr. He was falling for a homegirl, and she goes, I think you need to hit your face again. And he goes, no, it's just the honey glow in my cheeks.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, aw. That's what that is. That's that feeling. Yeah. It's the honey glow.
Yeah, like, well, they even say that. That's the lemon glow, and then they say honey glow afterwards in the song. So that's what they're
talking about. I was like, wow, that is, aw. I know what that feels like now. So, yeah, it was cool.
I love it.
It was cool.
I agree. Lemon Glow is probably my favorite song. That Black Car is another one of my favorites. Dive, another one of my favorites. And the last song, Last Ride, which is like a 7-minute song. It's pretty long, but I do enjoy it quite a bit. I love the piano on it. I love, love, love it. I probably will sample it into a beat at some point. Cause I love the chords and like how it progresses there. So yeah, Beach House is great. Thank you, Beach House, for an album this year. I was very excited to hear it. It is probably, it's definitely my favorite non hip hop album of the year so far. Definitely, number one on that list. It might be up there on like top albums of 2018 for me. Like this.
Well, Purity Ring dropped a single in 2017. I don't know how late or how early in 2017, but they dropped a single.
I did listen to means that. I didn't really like it.
And an album is not too far away.
We'll see. We'll see. Did you listen to it? It was like Acido? Acido?
No, I didn't listen to it. I just saw it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was trying to see if they have something coming.
It was okay. I don't know. It was okay, but... Yeah, I mean, that'd be fun. I hope Purity Ring comes out with something this year, because then we could actually review it on the podcast, and that would be a hoot. So
that would be a hoot. Yeah. I'm excited for all of that. Like, I love for my personal listening sessions, I like to listen to stuff outside of hip hop.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be awesome. There's a song that I've had on repeat. It's a CCM Christian contemporary song.
Uh-huh.
But it's like more pop. I gotta figure out. There's a couple. There's one called "Safe in My Father's Arms," which is, you know, one of my favorites. I listen to that one every day. I actually have to listen to it after we get done recording this podcast, because I listen to it every day.
Oh, that's cool.
And then there's one called "Right Here with You." Beautiful song. I lied. There's another song that I heard this week that I thought was really, really good.
What song?
It's called "Feel the Waters" by Sarah Reeves. Mm. "Feel the Waters." That song is like, but here's the thing with Sarah Reeves. She sounds the same on everything.
Yeah.
So like, I can't listen to her too much, because then I'll be like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you.
But throw her in a playlist, man.
Right. See, that's the beauty of playlists.
I'm gonna start making the same song over and over again and be like, just throw me in a playlist.
Okay, Drake.
No. I'm not putting out a playlist.
Oh,
it's gonna be an album.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's gonna be an album, but I'm gonna tell you to throw me in a playlist with other artists. Yeah, so that way
you don't. That'd be the name of the album. It's called "Throw Me in a Playlist."
Throw me in a playlist. Yeah.
Just like, take whatever song you like in here, throw me in a playlist. We're good. All right.
Yeah.
This has been fun. If you guys have any other suggestions as far as like non-hip hop albums, please bring them our way. We are open to trying new genres out, especially ones that neither of us have explored. I think that would be fun to do, like first time, you know, experiencing a certain.
Okay,
genre.
So next week we're doing a country. We're doing a country album.
Hell no.
Next week we're doing a country album.
The only country album we're reviewing on here is when Chris Stapleton drops an album. Other than
we're doing a country
album.
I'm looking it up right now.
I refuse.
Yep, we're doing a country album.
The only country album. Okay,
it's going to be to commemorate
Chris Stapleton or the Yodel Kid, the Walmart Yodel Kid. I'll review his album.
We're doing it because to celebrate you and Mitch Moe's podcast, we're doing a country album.
We don't have to, though. That's the thing.
We're doing a country album.
We don't have to.
Yep, we're doing it. I'm about to find it right now.
Well, hopefully we don't do a country album. Pray for me, guys.
We're doing it.
It has been real. Tune in next week whenever you're listening to this.
Hold up. Before
we leave. I'm trying to gloss over this, Ryan.
There's an EP. Ugh. It is only 6 songs, 21 minutes.
Who's the artist?
Adam Sanders.
Really? Is that like Adam Sandler, but like change his name so he can go country?
No, it is.
How about this?
He looks like a knockoff. Who did Blurred Lines? Robin Thicke. He looks like a knockoff Robin Thicke.
Oh, that's gross. That sounds terrible.
Adam Sanders.
How about this? I will call Mitch and Mitch can give us an album to listen to.
Okay, so Big Machine Label Group. Isn't that where Taylor Swift is signed?
I have no idea.
Drake White. There's another EP. This one is 5 songs, 16 minutes.
Drake White. So just the white Drake. I don't need white Drake.
So Drake White.
He should change his name to White Drake. You know how funny that would be?
Here's the thing.
If he was like, nah, I'm not great. Drake. I'm White Drake. That's my new rap name. I'm no longer Lil Thorny. I'm going to go by White Drake.
So here's the thing, though. Like, for real. We could do those two. It's only 40 minutes of country.
Oh, gosh.
And they're new projects that just came out, and neither one of us have heard anything from them. And we're going, it is a new genre that neither one of us listens to. We're doing it.
Okay, fine.
We're doing it, okay?
I'm fine, we'll do it.
We're putting this one out this week. We're doing this episode this week, so everybody knows we're doing country next week.
Okay. All right.
Deal?
We'll do it.
All right, we're doing country.
We're listening to Adam Sandler and White Drake. So look forward
Adam
to that.
Adam Sanders. And watch. Dallas is going to hear it. He's going to be like, wow, I was pleasantly surprised.
I'm excited for this White Drake guys. Guy. I wonder if it's like Hotline Bling, but like.
But country?
Like white.
When your cell phone comes, I'm going to give you a call.
Oh gosh, that's what I'm afraid of, Ryan. That's what I'm afraid of.
Yo, like
sentimental
you,
summer songs that feel drenched in sunlight. That's the description of this Drake White album. I'm not excited for this. This is gonna be terrible. Anywho, they are downloading on my phone now. We'll do that next week. Thank you guys for listening. As always, catch us on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, the Stitcher app, and anywhere else that you hear podcasts. If you enjoy sports, make sure to check out The Sports Hour with Mitch Moe and the Mormon. We put out new episodes every Sunday night. So check that out if you want some sports hot takes. Thank you for being fans, for friends, colleagues, homies. It's been real. Ryan?
Yo, wait. Before we go, how was the conference?
Oh, the podcast conference was sick. Shout out to the Outlier Festival. I learned a lot. Actually, Ryan and I, we need to talk after this because I got tons of ideas to go forward with. Did not network with anyone. I learned that what you and I do is very unique within the podcast world, as far as the mainstream podcast world, which actually made me feel really good about what we do. Because most people are some sort of educational, motivational, life skills podcast, and that's like essentially what it is. And we obviously don't do that. We do very conversational-based and non-topic and just pure entertainment. And that's very different in podcasts, but it was good. I was able to take a lot of things that I learned and apply them to our podcast. And so it'll be good.
Cool.
So yeah, it was fun. It was a good time.
Oh, there's a black country guy.
Oh yeah. I think there's a few of them. They got to have like token black guys, right? In country. So
yeah, I didn't know that.
Anywho, guys, we will catch you next week.